I want you to listen to the Word of God, found in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 23 through 26. For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it, and he said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, "This is the cup of the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as oft as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes."
We must wait.
We must be patient.
We must watch.
We must prepare.
We must live.
We must labor. We must love one another.
We must play.
But never forget.
Don't ever forget.
We must wait.
We must be patient.
We must watch.
We must live.
Labor.
Love.
And play.
Until what?
Why?
When?
Until who? Jesus.
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 Until Jesus comes.
The Bible says in verse 26, "For as oft as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until..." Folks, I want to tell you something. Jesus is coming. And from the beginning of time, God has been closing history. Dr. Tim LaHaye and Ed Henson said it like this in their book entitled Global Warning. Now, not warming, but warning. He said, "The world is speeding toward its ultimate date with destiny. Every day that passes moves us closer to the end. The people and the planet have a divine appointment to keep. And as the clock of time ticks away, mankind comes closer and closer and closer to Earth's final hour." So as we come to the Lord's table this morning, folks, we proclaim the Lord's life, his death, and his resurrection until he comes. And so currently you and I are living in the until part of this verse. Well, how in the world do we do that? I want you to remember three words that begin with W this morning. Watch, work, witness. Watch. Keep your eyes open. Be ready for the coming of the Lord to get his bride, the rapture of the church, because the signs of the time are regarding the second coming. The rapture of the church, there are no signs, ladies and gentlemen. It will come in an hour that you think not. Work. Keep on working for Jesus. Don't you ever give up. Remember, what you do for others on this earth in the name of Jesus, in reality, you are doing to Jesus. And our Lord shared the following words with us when he told of the sheep and goat judgment coming at the very completion of time. You remember the words of Jesus. They will be very familiar to many of you. Found in Matthew chapter 25, verse 40, "And the king will answer and say to them, 'Assuredly, inasmuch as you've done it to one of the least of these, my brethren, you've in fact done it to me.'" Watch, work, and witness. Be a witness for Jesus Christ as we live in this until time before Jesus returns for his church. The New Testament defines the word witness as martyr. Matter of fact, the Greek word is martureo, even sounds like martyr. But what it means, it's one that would be willing to die for his faith. So be a true witness for Jesus Christ on this earth, even should it cost you and me our lives. So here at the Lord's table, we proclaim his death until Until what? Listen closely.
He.
Who?
Who is he?
Christ.
Messiah.
Anointed one.
Savior.
King of kings.
Lord.
Master.
Redeemer.
Alpha and Omega.
Sovereign.
God.
Sacrifice.
Son.
Sacrifice. Father.
Sacrifice.
Torture.
Nails.
Blood.
Hammer.
Cross.
Soldiers.
Pain.
Agony.
Screams.
Death.
Finished.
Who?
Who is he?
He's Jesus.
My Savior.
My sacrifice.
My King.
My Lord.
Forgiven.
Cleansed.
Free.
Saved.
Forgiven.
The Bible says, "For as oft as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he, Jesus." How does one describe Jesus, the Messiah, the Christ? Let me tell you. In the book of Revelation, chapter 1, he is called the Alpha and the Omega. He's also called the Lion of the tribe of Judah. In the book of Psalms, Jesus is referred to as the Anointed One. In Revelation, he's the Lord of Lords. In Acts chapter 3, he's the author of life. In John chapter 1, he's the Word. In Isaiah, he is the mighty God. In Zechariah, he is the branch. In Matthew, he is the Nazarene. In Revelation, he's the bright and morning star. He's the Prince of Peace. In John, he's the Rabbi. In 2 Peter, he's the Day Star. In Revelation, he's called the Root of David. In Isaiah, he's the Everlasting Father. And in Isaiah and John, he is the Root of Jesse. In Matthew, he's the Son of David. In John, he's the Good Shepherd. And in Mark, he's the Son of God. In Acts, he's the Holy and Righteous One. In Matthew, he is the Son of Man. In John, he's the True Vine. In Isaiah, he is Emmanuel. He is Wonderful Counselor. In Matthew, he is the Christ. In Revelation, he is the King of Kings and he's the Lord of Lords. In Revelation, he is the Lamb, the Word of God. And in John, he is the Lamb of God. And in John, he's called the Great I Am. That, my friend, is who Jesus is. Until Jesus what? Listen.
Jesus is coming.
Unexpectedly.
Jesus is coming.
Soon.
Jesus is coming.
To gather up his children.
Jesus is coming.
We're going home.
Jesus is coming.
For his bride.
Jesus is coming.
For his church.
Jesus is coming.
Glory to God.
Jesus is coming.
Jesus is coming.
Jesus is coming.
Maranatha.
Come quickly, Lord.
Even so, come, Lord Jesus.
Amen.
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 Maranatha.
Amen.
Yes. Come quickly, Lord Jesus. The Bible says, he who testifies to these things says, surely I am coming quickly. Amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus, and the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. We come to his table today to proclaim he's coming again soon. Are you ready? Do you know the Lord Jesus Christ, and have you, by your personal invitation, invited him to come into your life as to be your Lord and Savior? And by so doing, have you repented? That is, you've turned to Jesus Christ and trusted him alone for your forgiveness and cleansing of your sin? And have you confessed up before coming to this table? Is there sin in your life as you sit together, we in this congregation? The Bible says to examine yourself. The Bible says to confess that sin and then come to the table. And before we come to the table, Let's confess that sin. Share in this Lord's Supper and reflect and meditate. But before we come to the table, what's in your life, what's in my life that need to be confessed before God as we come to this table? Would you pray with me right now? Look back to this week. Look back even further if you wish. And ask God to cleanse you from all sin. The sin you remember and you confess even at this moment. The sins we have even no knowledge of doing, but yet we did because of our sinful nature. Will you just simply say these words to the Lord? Lord Jesus, I am a sinner. I confess my sin to you. Forgive me, Lord Jesus. I repent. I turn from that sin and trust you only for that forgiveness. Wash me, Father. Take the dirty rags of sin that's on me and make them whiter than snow. If through your heart you've done that this morning, realize the cleansing of Jesus Christ. The Bible says, if you will confess your sin before me, I will forgive you of your sin and cleanse you from all your unrighteousness. Thank you, Lord Jesus. In your blessed name I pray. Amen. Now come to this table. Not because you must, but because you may. Come to this table not to testify of your righteousness, but how you sincerely love the Lord Jesus Christ and you desire to be his true disciple. Come not because of your goodness gives you any right to be here or to come, but come because of your frailty and sinful nature that we stand in need of heaven's mercy and help. Come because you love the Lord a little and want to love him a whole lot more. Come because he loved you and he gave himself for you. Lift up your hearts above your cares and fears and let this bread and this fruit of the vine that we are about to have in our hand be a remembrance of God's grace to you and a pledge to your love to the Lord Jesus Christ. And remember his death until he comes. You receive the love of God. Consecrate your life afresh and anew to Christian obedience and service, and discover and do the will of God in humble faith. Yes, yes, let's come to the table together. These men are about to serve to you the bread. Remember, It is broken, represents the body of Christ and his shed, his blood, his body broken for you. So as you take this bread and as you hold it in your hand, remember Jesus until he comes. I'm going to ask our deacon chairman, Clay Brown, if he will pray and ask the Lord to bless this bread as we partake of it together.
Let's pray. Father God, as we come to this time, Lord, we just ask that we would remember your sacrifice. Remember your body that was broken for each one of us. And Lord, as we leave this place today, maybe we just take that remembrance with us, that we would seek each and every day to live our lives as a sacrifice to you because of the great sacrifice you gave us. So Lord, now as we do this, may you just cause our hearts and our minds to remember you each and every day of our lives, that we may serve you with our whole being. We ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Jesus said, as oft as you eat this bread, you eat it in remembrance of me to proclaim my death and resurrection until Jesus comes. Let's eat together. The Bible says, in like manner, Jesus also took the cup. And as these men prepare to serve you the cup right now, remember, it is the cup of the New Testament of God's blood that has been shed for you and for me. So in just a minute, as they give you that cup and you hold it in your hand, you remember the symbolic nature of that little cup. He died for me. He paid it all. Every sin I would ever commit has been paid for through Jesus Christ's death on the cross. As these men prepare to serve you this cup, I want Henry Lee, our Vice Chairman of Deacons, to ask God's blessing on this cup as we share it with each of you. Brother Henry.
Lord, as we're about to partake of this cup that represents the blood of Jesus Christ, we know that there, as the Bible says, there can be no forgiveness of sin without the shedding of innocent blood. But we know that we do not have to pay that price. Christ has paid it for us already. And that's why we, as we come to this time, that we would remember that fact. Remember that Jesus came and died for us. He shed the blood that we might not have to do that. Thank you, Lord.
For as oft as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until, say it with me, he comes. Let's drink together. The little cup always serves as a reminder. Oftentimes we place them in the pew rack and that's where they stay. And I encourage you to take this little cup with you, because the Bible says we are to proclaim his death until he comes. And may you take this little cup, you like to wash it out and put it close to where you see it every day. And may this little empty cup of celebrating this wonderful supper together be a reminder to all of us that our task now is to proclaim his death, tell the world about Jesus until he comes. The Bible says that the men sang a hymn and they went out. But you know what Jesus faced immediately following the supper. After that meal, less than 12 hours later, the passion would not only have happened, he would be on the cross. The Bible says the next morning by 9 a.m. he was on the cross until 3 when he died. The Bible says that from noon until 3 in the afternoon there was darkness. The word there is skotos. It means a blackness. Folks, it doesn't mean a thundercloud came up. It means there was total darkness. God cannot look at sin. Do you understand? And Jesus became guilty of every sin mankind would ever commit. And so literally, God veiled himself from sin for those 3 hours. And Jesus Christ became guilty of your sin. Have you ever personally invited Jesus into your heart? You see, that's what Jesus does. He extends his grace to us through his death on the cross and his blood for you and me. But he gives us the opportunity to say yes or no. If we reject Jesus Christ, it's not something that he did, it's something we did. And the Bible calls that the unpardonable sin. A rejection of Jesus Christ is the only sin God can never forgive. But intentionally, have you said to the Lord Jesus, I am a sinner. I am in need of the Savior of this universe. And I realize, Lord Jesus, that had I been the only person ever to live, you would have come and died for me just like you did for those who have lived, and will ever live. You love me that much. And I ask you right now to come into my life and be my Lord and Savior. I ask you to forgive me, to cleanse me of all my sin, and to cover me in your blood, your forgiving blood, from the top of my head to the bottoms of my feet. And folks, if you say that and you turn from your sin toward Jesus as your sole source of salvation through grace and faith alone, the Bible says that at that moment you become a new creation. And then you make it public. You tell the world. That's why we do an invitation at the end of every service. Or maybe you've been a Christian for a long time, but you haven't been living that way. Or maybe you've been living that way, but you simply want to say, I need to recommit my life to the Lord Jesus. This place becomes an altar. Jesus paid it all. And maybe this morning God has been tugging at your heart and you've been our guest and you want to come and join Olive Springs Baptist Church. Come be with us, folks. God's got a work in front of us right here in the mission field on Austell Road and Sandtown Road behind us. And God wants you here. We want you here. We need ministry together. And I would ask you to come and plant your feet with us as we share and proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. So this morning, we're going to stand together right now. Karen is going to come to lead us as we close this beautiful time of worship out with a time of invitation and a time of commitment. with that song. It's 134. If you want to look in your hymn book, we'll have it on the screen. Jesus paid it all. We're going to sing all these stanzas together as this place here becomes our altar, becomes our place of response. Whatever God would have you do, I want you to do that right now as we sing this closing song.
Oh.
just 1 minute. Well, maybe a minute and a half, but it won't take us but a second. I don't know about you all, but I've been in church today, you know, and I tell you, beautiful times sharing around the Lord's Supper and whatever, and we thank God for Priscilla and her family, Priscilla Penn, who's been here and been so active and taking them whatever, and I've been praying for this young guy right here, who you've seen Charles walking around and being with her and being in our Bible study and whatever, and Charles says, I just so want to become a member of this church. You know, and he's coming on the promise of his letter from a sister Baptist church. He knows he's saved. He's been immersed. We thank God for the fact that he comes. He wants to be right here as a family worshiping God together and helping us share the good news of Jesus in this community. I'm not going to make you stand up right yet, but I thank God for you, my brother. I'm so glad you're here. Let me tell you what. I can see it in his eyes, and you can. And I'm not going to make Charles stand up here. That's hard. But I want him. You guys just stay right here after the service. And will you all come down this way and see Charles and just to give him a big hug and a handshake and whatever. He's taller than me, so I have to do it this way, you know. But he'll be sitting right here, and we'll go from there. Matthew, where are you, my brother? You got a mic. I'll let you continue.
And also, if you want to come stand next to me, James, right here.
This is James Russell. He's Miss Priscilla's one of Miss Priscilla's grandsons, and they've been visiting here. They live in Detroit, but they've been visiting here for about a month or so, and they're heading back fairly soon to Detroit. But maybe there's the chance, I think, that they might live here, maybe, so maybe pray for that. But this is James Russell. He came to his grandmother this past week and said he had some questions about inviting Jesus into his life, and I talked with him a little bit on the Monday. We left this past Monday on a youth trip. And so we talked, and I was just telling him all the things Jesus is to us. He's not only our Savior, he's our friend, he's our Father. You could go on and on and on and on and on. Jesus is our life. And so I just want to confirm right there with James. Whoa, forgot to tell you. Tuesday night, about 2:30 or so in the morning, I slept on the couch in between the two. We were in a cottage in between the two rooms and in between the two doors, just in case they tried something. You never know. They're perfect angels, but you never know. You never know. In case they might try to sneak out and catch a bear or something like that. But I felt this tap on my shoulder in the middle of the night at 2:30 on Tuesday night, early Wednesday morning. And they started asking me all these different theological questions. And, you know, I was like, man, you guys can wake me up any time of the day if you want to ask me some questions about the Bible. I mean, it was the coolest thing. That was probably the coolest part of the trip. Five of them stood over me. Hey, Matt, we got a question for you. And that was the coolest thing. We talked a little bit more during that time about what Jesus does and how he comes into our life. And right there on the pew right there, I just want to confirm with James. I said, where does Jesus live? And he said, he lives in heaven. I said, well, that's good. And where else does he live? When we invited him into our lives, he said, he lives right here. And he pointed to his heart. James has invited Jesus Christ as his personal Lord and Savior into his life.
Yes.
Amen.
Yeah.
And I told James, I said, now, people won't do this, but I said, but if everybody in this world turned their back on James, said, we don't want to have anything to do with you, James, if everybody did that, now they wouldn't, but just say they did, theoretically, Jesus Christ will never turn his back on James.
Amen.
It says in God's word in 1 Timothy that although we are faithless, Jesus will be faithful because he cannot deny himself. Jesus cannot deny his character. His character is his ever-loving love and his faithfulness to us. Jesus will never be unfaithful to us, although we were always unfaithful to him. But that's the promise of a Savior, a true Savior. Every other god in this world, you have to appease. You have to keep up a good work. You have to do something. Not Jesus Christ. You just turn your heart over to him, and he does the work in you. So I just want to praise God for James and for having the courage to walk up. I was about his age when I walked the aisle. Man, I was so scared, hands sweating, and everything else. But I just want to praise God for James, for giving him the courage. And we talked about that last Wednesday night, about God will give you the courage to move forward. You Amen. Just step up, he'll give you that courage. He'll supply your need. So if you would, in agreement, James isn't going to join this church since he'll probably be moving back to Detroit, but he just want to make that public statement now to be baptized, maybe here, probably later at his church in Detroit. But if you are in agreement with him and you rejoice in his decision, will you say amen and give a hearty clap? Amen.
Yeah.
James will be up front with his grandmother, Miss Priscilla, and her husband, Mr. Charles. And we thank you. You all have been a blessing to me in my life. And Mr. Charles, I tell people all the time, man, there's this sweetest man. I mean, sweet in a good way. Sweetest man. He's got just the most awesome, gentle, humble heart that I've ever met. And I just love talking to him. I'm looking forward to working alongside you and talking with you even more and influencing these young people. Amen.
Amen. Somebody asked you where you were this morning. You just tell them you were in church. And you were. Stand up with me right where you are. Brother Clay's going to come. We have a couple of announcements, and as Clay's coming, we are going to kind of fizzle some of our announcements in worship. We've got them all in the bulletin for you and on the screen, and we put them throughout the week. So we're going to hope you'll read everything on here as well, and we're going to give Clay where he won't have a job on Sundays as well. And I thank you. See, and they, except for the preacher, they have to remind him of things. I'm telling you, I got to tell you all this. You'll get a kick out of it. I am so used to serving our deacons. That's a very intimate time with me in the Lord's Supper. And as you see, I serve them. And we just share a breast. You see, this is a very humble and beautiful experience between deacon and pastors as we do this. And the men are serving the cup. And I'm sitting there with Matthew just a minute ago. And I said, Matthew, I forgot to serve the men. And he looked at me and he said, Pastor Randy, I did. We had that planned. I was so used to doing it, and I was thinking, we didn't serve the deacons, but he did. You know, isn't it good to be human? You know, that's what it's all about, very much so as well. Don't forget, MD is taking care of me back there. Don't forget, we take a benevolent offering for our benevolent ministry, benevolence ministry, following the times of the Lord's Supper, and our ushers and men will be at the doors for you to give a spontaneous offering. All the money that you give goes to our benevolence committee for use in our own benevolence within this body here. And so I would ask you to take care of that on your way out as we leave in just a minute. Brother Clay.
Just a few announcements. I want you to join us this evening at 6 p.m. for our worship service. And as you saw in the bulletin, the community makeover will be this Saturday, August the 1st, from 8:30 to 5. And I'm going to let Brother Mark speak to that just a little bit.
Okay, I guess y'all notice these slightly red t-shirts we have on. This is what we'll be wearing Saturday, and it advertises for noonday and shows who we're doing this for outwardly, but we're doing all this for the name of Jesus. And we just pray, and I want you, the ones that may not participate in the physical part of it, I want you to pray this week that God will touch the teachers' hearts, because I'm sure there's some teachers, a lot of teachers that are not Christians. But I hope through this, and there's going to be about, 5,000 or 6,000 people in Cobb County, Paulding County, and I think some even in Cherokee that are going to be doing the same thing on the same time. So God's going to be, he's going to be pouring out all over. Y'all just pray for the workers. It's going to be a long day. It's 8 to 5, 8:30 to 5. We'll come back here and we'll have lunch. We're going to have lunch prepared. We'll come back here. We'll get a lunch and time to rest, and then we're going to go back out, and we're going to be doing a lot of physical labor. I think mostly helping the teachers move their stuff back into some of their classrooms that have been relocated, boxes and stuff. We'll have some hand trucks and some dollies. Shouldn't be that hard, but it's just going to be a lot of it, I think. So, but y'all come. If you signed up early for a t-shirt, we're going to have those t-shirts here. If you would, come down and get your t-shirts. It's not too late to sign up or just to join with us. We have some extra t-shirts. If you want to participate, we'd love to have you come and participate with us this coming Saturday. Is that all?
We're going to have a great time, so don't miss Saturday. We'll meet here at the church at 8:30, and then we'll head to two schools. We're going to be at Belmont Hills, where Pam teaches, and then we're going to be over at Fair Oaks. We're going to be doing some painting at Belmont Hills. And at Fair Oaks, we're going to be moving teachers back in their rooms. They've replaced all the tile and all the carpeting, and we're going to be moving all help teachers unpack boxes and things like this. So mostly everything we're going to be doing is inside at both schools, nothing outside at this point, unless that's changed from... Bring ladders if you have some extra ladders, and those of you who can meet with us in just a minute, we'll talk to you and make sure you know all that as well. God bless you, folks. Matthew, close us out with prayer. Would you do that, my brother?
Father, we thank you for this day, and I thank you for the decisions made this morning. Thank you. Lord, we thank you for this, your Son, Jesus Christ, and I thank you for the remembrance of his death and resurrection in the observance of communion. Lord, I pray that as we go out today, we would live out Christ's death, and most importantly, his resurrection in our lives as we go out this week, the people that we meet, our family, our friends, the people in line at the grocery store. And I pray, Lord, that you bring us back safely next week so that we can honor and glorify your name unless you come. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.